Today's share is Masechta Makas Daf Dalad. We will begin on Daf Gimel Amud Beis, four lines from the bottom, Amar Yehuda Marav. And just as a way of introduction, we've been learning a number of sugyas that really aren't related to Masechta Makas. The common denominator of all these sugyas is that they're all halachas that was said in the name of Yehuda Marav. And here too, we begin learning a sugya regarding Hilchas Mikvos. We all know that a mikveh to be a kosher mikveh has to have mem sof, 40 sof kosher mikveh water. Not only is that the halacha, but actually the halacha is that once we have mem sof of kosher mikveh water, that mikveh is kosher under all circumstances. That mikveh is kosher under all circumstances. The halacha, however, is, which will become the main focus of our shir, at least at this point, is let's say we don't have 40 saw of kosher water. So the halacha is of 3 saw of mayim shuvim meaning regular drawn water, are poured into that water, that entire body of water becomes pasul, disqualified to be a mikvah. And what one would have to do is he would have to drain all of that water. Actually, it's quite a complicated process because you have to completely dry that pool, that there should be no remnant of the non-kosher mikveh water, and start from scratch. So says the Gemara, Amar Yehuda Marav, Shlosha lugim mayim shenafu l'toicha kartuv shel yayin. We have 3 lugim of mayim shuvim, but in which would disqualify this body of water that doesn't have 40 saw, but a drop of wine fell into these 3 lugim of mayim shuvim, and that drop of wine, marein kamar yayin, makes these 3 lugim of mayim shuvim look like wine, and now they fall into the smikva that doesn't have 40 saw, as I repeat, like paslua. It won't be possible, because it's not considered that gimel lugim mayim shuvim fell in, because it doesn't look like gimel lugim mayim shuvim. It looks like wine, not like water. And in fact, there's a machlokes rishonim. What would be the halacha if it doesn't look like wine, but it doesn't look like water? Which is quite possible, because it's only a drop of wine. Some rishonim indicate that it has to look like wine, which is pashup shot in the Gemara. Other rishonim say, as long as it doesn't look like water, it won't disqualify the mikveh, and that's how the chazanish paskins. If it doesn't look like wine, if it doesn't look like water, it won't have the din of gimel lugim mayim shuvim that will pass it. But there's another very important halacha, which is not part of our Gemara, but it's the halacha l'maisa. What, again, we start with this body of water that doesn't have 40 saw of kosher mikveh water, and for some reason or another, that water got discolored. That water, again, since we don't have 40 saw of kosher mikveh water, that also becomes disqualified. It's not really relevant to our shir. Ask the Gemara, Maskula Rav Kahana, Mechima Bein Zeh, Lameit Seva. Why is this different than water that was colored? And the two Pshatim and Rishonim, what does colored water mean? Some Rishonim mean that you have water that some dye, that some coloring was added to. Others explain that Meit Seva means that water that was used. You know, let's say you used water. They used water sparingly. And the water, because of constant use, got somewhat discolored. The Tanan that the Mishnah says in Masechta Mikvos, Rabbi Yossi Omer made seva paisnus amikva, that if you have 3 lugim of made seva falling into this pool of water, it disqualifies that entire water from being a kosher mikva. Made seva paisnus amikva bil shloshes lugim, amalei. So Rava responds, hasam mayid tseva mikri, colored water is called water. Hacha, whereas wine that falls into water is not called colored water, rather chamer mizgi kavi. It's called wine, maybe diluted wine, but it's called wine. And again, the Rishonim help us understand the Gemara, and they explain what is the reason that indeed when we have less than 40 saw and 3 lugam and mayim shuvim fall in, why is it awesome? Why does it disqualify that entire body of water? And the reason is because we should not come to make the mistake that you could go to a mikveh that's made out of mayim shuvim. So if it's mayim albeit Meitzeva that falls in. So one can make the mistake that he could be Toivel and Mayim Shuvim. So in order to avoid that mistake, Chazal said that this is disqualified from being a mikvah. Whereas where it's wine, so nobody's going to make the mistake, the Mei Shuvim are a kosher, a body of water for a mikvah. And that's why Chazal saw no reason to make a gzera. Ask the Gemara, Vatani, didn't we learn in a brisa, Rav Chiya, Vatani Rav Chiya, didn't Rav Chiya teach us in a brisa, Haridus a mikvah, that if three lugim of wine, of water that's colored by wine, fall in, it disqualifies the mikvah. So what is Rav going to do with that brisa? Answers the Gemara, I'm Rav Alaykasha. Harav Yachin Benuri Harabonin. Rav's opinion reflects the opinion of Yachin Benuri. Rabbonin indeed disagree with Rav Yachin Benuri, and by extension they disagree with Rav. The Tanan, another Mishnah in Masech the Mikvos. The Mishnah says, Shloisha Lugim Mayim Chosakartiv. If you have three Lugim, not exactly three Lugim, because as we said at the beginning of the shiur, the number that passes, that disqualifies, is always three lugim. If you have a drop less than three lugim mayim shuvim, shenof l'toch a kart of yayin, that a drop of wine fell into this water, umarein kamar yayin, and now they look like a wine, v'nof l'mikva l'ipaslua. So why doesn't a passel? So there's two reasons what it shouldn't disqualify the mikvah. One is because we don't have three lugim mayim shuvim. We started, as I said, with a drop less than gimel lugim mayim shuvim. Number one point. Number two point is that it looks like yayin. Marein kamar yayin. What is the Mishnah by implication teaching us? The Mishnah by implication is teaching us that let's say you had gimel lugim mayim shuvim, even though it's marein kamar yayin, nothing could help you anymore. Clearly different than Rav. Another halacha. The Ken Gimel Lugamayim Chosakartiv. Again, we start off with three Lugamayim. Less, not a full three Lugamayim. Shenof L'Toychakurtiv Cholov. And the way it got became three Lugim. Because a drop of milk fell in. And all the Rishonim point out, the Kartiv should not be viewed as a shear. Kartiv is another way of saying a drop. Kartiv doesn't really mean a specific shear. Why? Because you don't have gimel lugim mayim shuvim. But what do we see from here? That as soon as you have gimel lugim mayim shuvim, the mikvah is going to be possible. Actually, the Rishonim ask, the halach is the same by in the way the Rabbanan present their din, it makes no difference if it's yayin or mayim. The halach is always the same. That if you have gimel lugim, it's going to be possible. And if you don't get gimel lugim, it's going to be kosher. So why did the Mishnah choose to mention in two separate cases? So Rishonim says, Rashi asked the question, and Rashi responds that since it's considered two separate types of situations, this looks like wine, this looks like water, the Mishnah chose to keep it separate. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri disagrees. He says, Hakol Holach Achamara. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri says that we have to look at what it looks like. Meaning, according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, even if I have gimel lugim mayim shuvim, the wine fell into those gimel lugim mayim shuvim, and now they don't look like water, they look like wine, even though I have to stress that we have gimel lugim mayim shuvim, the mikvah is still kosher. So clearly, Rav's opinion is consistent with Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, not with Rabbanan. So the kasha that was asked, that how will Rav be able to explain the Braisa of Rav Chiya, it's not a problem. The Braisa of Rav Chiya represents the opinion of the Rabbanon. Rav holds like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. Says the Gemara, V'hamad Ba'ilei Ba'ilei Rav Papa. This understanding of the Mishnah that we just learned is not that simple. Because Rav Papa wasn't quite sure how to understand the Mishnah that I just learned. The Mishnah from Masecht Mikvos. The boy Rav Papa. Rav Papa actually asked the question, how do we understand the opinion of the Tanakhama of this Mishnah? The boy Rav Papa, Rav Tana Chosav Kartiv Bereisha, was the Braisa, was the Mishnah speaking specifically as we learned in a case where there were no Shloish Lugim Mayim Shuvim. But indeed, Ava Shloish Lugim L'Tanakhama Pasli, if we started with Shloish Lugim Mayim Shuvim, there's nothing we could do, even if it's wine that falls in there. And even by wine falling in there, it looks like wine. It wouldn't help me any. V'ras Rabbi Yochanan Meimer. It's only Rabbi Yochanan who comes to say, Hakol Hoylech Achamara, that even though I have Gimel Lugamayim Shuvim, but if it looks like wine, we're still alright. And therefore, Rav will have to follow the opinion V'rav Domek Rabbi Yochanan Nuri. Rav will have to hold like Rabbi Yochanan Nuri. Odoma, Rav Papa has a different way of learning the Mishnah. And perhaps the way to understand the Mishnah is Rav Loi Tanachos of Karta Bereisha. Rav agrees the Tanakam of the Breis of the Mishnah holds that when we're dealing with wine falling into water and coloring it, that it should look like wine. It doesn't make a difference if it's Gimelu Gimayim Shuvim or it's not Gimelu Gimayim Shuvim. It will always be fine. Why? Because it looks like wine. What is the Machlokes of Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri and the Tanakam all about? Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, Kipalig, when Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri is coming to ask, to disagree, he's only coming to argue regarding the Sefer, that the Tanakam are held in the Sefer, that if it's Gimelu Gimayim Shuvim, if it looks like water, El Pasel comes Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri and says, no, that if it looks, even there, if I don't have Gimelu Gimayim, it's going to be kosher. But in the Sefer, in the Reisha, everybody's going to be in agreement. If we follow this understanding of the Mishnah, then Rav isn't limited to follow the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. Rav can even follow the opinion of Tanna Kamma. So why, asked the Gemara, are we saying, does Rav say, the Rav holds like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri? It could well be that according to this side of Rav Papa's questioning, Rav could even be holding like the Tanna Kamma. Answers the Gemara, Rav Papa indeed had a question, Mibayle, how to understand the opinion of Tanna Kamma. However, the Rabbi Pshitalei, that is the way we understood, it's the Tanna Kamma hold that once you have Gimelu Gimayim Shuvim, nothing can be done, whereas Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, and therefore, Rav will have to hold like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. Says the Gemara, Am Rav Yosef, Lo Shmei Le Hashmatza. Rabbi Yosef was in the yeshiva, and he heard this entire discussion, and he said, I never heard anybody say what we just learned, that you have to have, that if you have Gimelu Gimayim Shuvim, that according to Rabbanan, it becomes Pasul, which was the first side of Rav Papa's question of how to understand the Mishnah, which is also the way Rav understands the Mishnah. Said Abaye to him, Amalei Abaye, and we have this many times in Shas, that unfortunately we find that Rabbi Yossi got sick and forgot his learning, and his Talmud Abaye reminds him, At Amritlan Ninilan, you told us this halacha, Vacha Amritlan, the Lav Loitan Echos of Kartav Bereisha, according to you, Rav was not limiting the Tam Nakama to a case where it is less than three lugim. According to this, according to your understanding of the Mishnah, the Tanakama agrees that even if we have Gimel Lugim Mayim Shuvim, but those Gimel Lugim Mayim Shuvim look like wine, the mikveh is still kosher. And Rabbi Yochanan's machlokes on the Tanakama is limited to the Sefer. And therefore, according to your understanding, we're not limited to say that Rav holds like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, which brings with it a problem, because how could Rav pass like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri against the Rabbanan? But whereas, according to your understanding, Rav Domek de Reakol, Rav is even following the opinion of the Rabbanan in understanding the Mishnah. One more halacha regarding mikvos. V'yom Rabbi Yehuda Marav. If you have a barrel of water that fell into the Yama Gadol, and the Rishonim explain that the water of the Yama Gadol is not considered a water that has a strong current, and since it's not considered a water with a strong current, the water, the Shlur Shalugim that fall in there, remain stationary. So the halacha is, HaToyvel Sham, if somebody goes and immerses himself in the spot where these Gimel Lugim Mayim Shuvim were poured, tefillah. The tefillah would not be considered a valid tefillah. We're concerned that those three Lugim remain stationary, and not all of the person, the Yama Gadol, is a kosher body for one to be toivel himself. But we're concerned that this water didn't mix in, and you weren't toivel only in kosher mikveh water. Says the Gemara, and I'm going to explain this more in a moment, V'dafka, therefore, this question only comes up in the Yam HaGadol, the Kai V'Kaimer, that the water doesn't have a strong current, so it's very possible that the water that you poured in there remains stationary. Ava Nahar Ba'alma, in a regular river, where there's a strong current, so if you poured water in, it likely got mixed into the rest of the ocean, rest of the river. We have nothing to worry about, and you're toivel and you're fine. So basically, the way I just explained the Gemara, I'll explain it a little better, I hope, now, I followed the opinion not of Rashi. I actually learned the Gemara like the Ramban in the Ritva. The Ramban in Ritva explained that here the concern is, as I said, that you poured in these Mayim Shuvim. And Mayim Shuvim, as we've learned from the beginning of the Shir, are not kosher for mikvah. And since they don't get mixed in well, because there isn't a strong current in this river, we have to be concerned that that water that you're being toivel in, your body is not completely immersed in kosher water. And in fact, the Achronim say, according to this understanding of the Gemara, it wouldn't even have to be necessarily Gimel Lugim Mayim Shuvim that were poured into the Yam HaGadol, even if it was less. Because the concern is that you're not being toivel completely in kosher water. So what's the difference if there's 3 lugim of not kosher water, or less than 3 lugim of kosher water? This concern remains the same. And others say that we only have to be concerned when there's that much, because it's a significant amount. Even according to this understanding of the Gemara, the Ramban and Ritva's explanation that we just gave of the Gemara, if it's such a small amount of water, it's not even gimel lugim, even if there isn't a strong current, it gets completely mixed in, and we don't have to worry. Actually, Tosfos asks a very fundamental question, and it's going to be a question even according to the Pshat of Rashi that I'm going to speak about in a moment. Tosfos' question is that we know, and this is the way all of our mikvahs are constructed. Hashaka, how does a mikvah work? The mikvah where you actually immerse yourself, the pool where one actually immerses himself, is not the kosher mikvah water. Rather, they have a hole, and the hole could even be closed up, as long as there is a hole that connects a pool of kosher mikvah water next to the pool that you immerse yourself. And that's called hashaka. The definition of hashaka is kissing. They're touching each other, or they have the potential to touch each other. Again, I don't want to learn Hilchos Mikvahs today. I'm not sure I can learn it anyway. And that's enough. So ask Tosfos, this should be no worse than hashaka if you have this water touching that water. So the Rishonim answer that since this is sweet water and this is salty water, the type of water is very different. When the waters are so very different, we don't say the halacha of hashaka. Again, this is understanding the Gemara according to Ramban and Ritva. Tosfos, because of this question, has a whole different pshat in this Gemara, because it's such a strong question to have Tosfos Adamid. Rashi, and again, many Achroinim suggest that Rashi also felt that he shouldn't learn the Gemara, because the pshat of the Ramban and Ritva is very simple, and it actually reads itself right into the wording of the Gemara. Rashi comes up, as I'm going to learn now, with a whole new pshat. What pushed Rashi into this different pshat that doesn't seem to be in the wording of the Gemara? Because Rashi was also disturbed with this question. Rashi explains the Gemara based on a famous gzeira. We learned it together, Masechta Shabbos. One of the gzeiras of the Yud Ches Tovar is that if a person wants to eat truma, he has to be tar. He has to go to the mikveh. He has to be tar. Chazal made a gzeira that if somebody takes a shower with gimel lugim mayim shuvim, he's going to be considered tamei. Why? Because people, the mikvahs in those days were typically not that clean. And people, after they went to the mikveh, would many times take a shower immediately after leaving the mikveh. To the degree that people maybe came to make a mistake, that it's not the mikveh that makes them tar, it's the shower that makes them tar. So in order to avoid that mistake, Chazal said that if you're going to take a shower after the mikveh, you're going to become tamei. You can't eat truma. So here too, that's pshat of this Gemara. That the Gemara, according to Rashi, is saying that if somebody poured water into the yam, and again, we're talking about a yam that doesn't have a strong current, so that water doesn't get mixed in, it's considered as if he took a shower with mayim shuvim after he went to the mikveh, and he wouldn't be able to eat truma. What's the advantage of learning Rashi's pshat? Because Rashi is agreeing that under normal circumstances, they certainly say Hashaka. But here there's a special Gezeiras Chazal. This is what Rav Shmuel Rozovsky explains the Gemara. There's a special Gezeiras Chazal. The Chazal were concerned, as I explained a second ago, about people making a mistake. What is Matar them? Included in that Gezeira is not only a situation, the regular situation where you take a regular shower, but even when you go into the Gimamayim, Gimalugim, Mayim Shuvim, then you're concerned that it looks the same, and the Gezeira of Chazal applies there too. And that's why here, Chazal didn't allow that the concept of Ashoka should work, because all part of this strictness, this new Gezeira, this new decree that Chazal put into place. That's the two Pshatim in the Gemara. Those are the two Pshatim, how to explain the Gemara. It's interesting. I saw a tshuva from the Marshag. A very interesting tshuva from the Marshag. There are people that have a minig. In America, you don't see this minig that much. In Europe, people had this minig. That they, all the water that they were going to use on Pesach, they would collect in barrels or whatever, and have in their home before Yontif. Why? He says, it's based on this Gemara. He says, what happens if somebody in Yontif, again, they didn't have that much plumbing in the houses. So sometimes if somebody had to clean their pots and pans and dishes, they would go out to the river and clean. And what happens if somebody's a goy, or somebody's not keeping Pesach, goes out to the river on Yontif, and cleans his pots and pans that are chametz stick in the river, and we maybe have a river like Al Gemara says, again, this is a chumrah, that the water doesn't flow. So again, that water becomes chametz stick water because it doesn't get mixed up with the rest of the water. And then if you go and draw that water into your home, you're going to be bringing chametz stick water into your house. That's why that minig became that people bring, drew all the water they're going to use on Pesach to the home. Again, halacha, it's not much of a question because our water, wherever we're getting water from, certainly flows with a strong current. Dishwater that's being used to be cleaned is not flowing back to the same source as the water that we're using, clean water. Again, it's a chumrah of the Marshag, and now we can maybe understand from where it came. Continues the Gemara, Tanya Nami Hachi, Chavas Malei Yayin. Here we talk about a barrel of wine. Shnafla Yama Godl, Hatayva Sham, Osloit Tfila. Chashinen, Lishloi Shalugim Shuvim, Shloi Bimakam Echad. Now, one more point. When I mentioned the Pshat of the Ramban and the Ritva, I pointed out that there were achroinim that suggest that according to their understanding, it doesn't make a difference if it's Gimalugim or less than Gimalugim. That water remains separate and stationary. According to Rashi's Pshat, the Gimalugim are very exact. Because if it's less than Gimalugim, even though Chazal made a gzeira that if you take a shower after the mikveh, you can't eat truma, but the shower has to be a shower of Gimalugim Mayim Shuvim. If it's not going to be Gimalugim, that gzeira doesn't apply. So according to Rashi's understanding of the Gemara, it's very gishmak why the Gemara speaks about specifically Gimalugim Mayim Shuvim. Continued the Gemara in learning this brisa. The kenkika shatruma, if you have a loaf of bread, which is truma, shenafel sham, that falls into the place where the wine fell, it's tamei. My v'chein, ask the Gemara, of course it's tamei, because we're saying that this wine is tamei. Ma d'tema hosam uki gavra chazoka. Maybe we should go with the following lomdus. Where we have somebody who's tamei, and he's going into the river to be matar himself. So that person has a cheskes tumah. And here we poured mayim shuvim, or yayin, into the water, and we're talking about a body that doesn't have a current. So whatever pshat that we learn, we explain why that would not successfully be matar of the person. Here, on the other hand, we're starting with truma that's kosher. That's tar. Hacha uki truma chazaka. And even though it fell into such a body, where the wine or the water fell in, we should still rely on the chazak cheskes tara. Kamashmon, the distant of Rabbi Yehuda Merav, or actually of the Brice, is so strong that it's a chshash that even something which has a cheskes tahara should become tamei. You go back to Masechta Makis, Eidim Zayimim. Says the Mishnah, Mi'idim Anu B'ish Ploini. They say testimony about an individual, Shechai V'chaveroi Me'asayim Zuz. That he owes somebody else 200 Zuz. V'nimtsu Zayimim. And then it turns out that they're Eidim Zayimim. The halacha is Loikin U'mishalmim. The halacha is that they will get Malkus and have to pay. This is the opinion of Rameya. Why? Shalai Hashem ha-mevi'in l'day makis, mevi'in l'day tashlumim. It's a different chiyuv. The chiyuv of Adam's Malkus is because of the lav of Leisana Bereicha Eid Sheker, and the chiyuv of Tashlumim is because of Sisim Loikasha Zom Lassus Lochiv. Divrei Remeya. That's the opinion of Remeya. The Chamaimer, the Cham disagree. Kol Misham Ein Loika. The opinion of Remeya is that we say Kimle B'd Rabbi Menei, and we don't give a person two punishments for the same Aveira. And since we don't give a person two punishments for the same Aveira, the halacha is, that's why we only give him the Chiv Tashlumim, Kol Mishalim. In this case, he'll have to pay for Kasha Zomam, and he won't get Malkus for, he won't get Malkus for Leisana Bereicha Eid Sheker, because of Kimle B'd Rabbi Menei. So there's a gevalda gevart, and I want to say it over, that the Achronim say, because it goes back to an issue that I discussed at length in the first shiur on the Masechta. We learned in the first shiur of our Masechta that in the cases, in certain cases, Ben Grusha, Ben Chalutza, Golis, there's a chi of Malkus. And the Gemara explained, why is there a chi of Malkus? Because since we can't do Kasha Zomam, for the reasons that the Gemara explained, actually based on Psukim, so he gets Malkus for Leisana Bereicha Eid Sheker. And when we discussed it, and we said actually it's Pshat in the Taisus, the first Taisus of the Masechta, we discussed how do we look at this. Do we look at Leisana Bereicha Eid Sheker as a new lav? Or do we look at Leisana Bereicha Eid Sheker says that this is the way we do Kasha Zomam? So from our Mishnah, it seems, from the way our Mishnah describes the opinion of the Rabbanan, it seems that the Rabbanan are learning that Leisana Bereicha Eid Sheker may be a substitution for Kasha Zomam. And that the Torah is teaching us that since you have two Chiyuvim, you can't have two Chiyuvim for one Aveira, so that's why you have Momen and not Malkus. Because if there were two separate Chiyuvim, maybe the Rabbanan would agree that you could get two separate Malkus. Furthermore, how do we understand what Rameyah says, Loya Hashem, Hamavila de Malkus, Mavila de Momen? The way Rashi explains it is that since it's two separate psukim, one pasuk is the pasuk of Leisana Bereicha Eid Sheker, the other pasuk is Kasha Zomam, since they come from two separate psukim, the halacha is, that's why we say, we don't say, Rameyah says, we don't say Kimle B'd Rabbi Menei. Because it's hard to explain, I think Rashi's trying, is bothered with a question. It's hard to say that Rameh doesn't agree to the concept of Kimle B'd Rabbi Menei. That's one of the most fundamental concepts in Shas. He's saying here, where it comes from two psukim, that's why we don't apply the concept of Kimle B'd Rabbi Menei. Even though the Megineh Shloimeh explains in Rashi, it's not the fact that it's two psukim. If it would be in one pasuk, it wouldn't change. The fact is it comes from two separate aveiras. Like San Barach is one aveira, Kasha Zomam is a separate aveira. Other Rishonim, Taisus, seems to explain that how do we understand when Rameh says Loimen Hashem Hamivil De Mom and Mivil De Malkus, is that since the Oynish or the Lav Leisana Bereicha Eid Sheker and the Din of Kol Shezomam aren't next to each other, so we don't consider it two. Rameh therefore considers them two separate subjects. If they would be next to each other, Taisus seems to learn that maybe Rameh would be in agreement that we should apply the concept of Kimle B'di Ramanei. So then I saw a Gevaldig Akasha from Rav David Pivarsky. We know, Rabbanan is saying that we apply the concept of Kimle B'd Rabbi Menei here. Ask Rav David Pivarsky, we know one of the most fundamental conditions to apply Kimle B'd Rabbi Menei is that both Chiyuvim come at the same moment. Let's say somebody does two Averis, but the Chiyuv doesn't come at the exact same moment. Remember, Masechta Shabbos discusses many cases where somebody, the famous cases where somebody threw something and it tore clothing and then it fell. So the chiyuv for tearing comes when it tears the begadim, and the chiyuv for carrying only comes when it lands. So we can't say Kimle B'd Rabbi Menei because they came at two separate times. So ask Rav David Pivarsky, when are you over Leisana Bereicha Eid Sheker? The moment you say a lie. When are you over Kasha Zomam? When they're identified to be Adam Zomam. So the two chiyuvim don't come at the exact same time. So how could Rabbanan apply the concept of Kimle B'd Rabbi Menei? Gevaldige Kasha. So he says a very bechidish. He says, even though when did the Adam lie as they were uttering their words? You're not called a liar until you're caught. And therefore, You're not over the lava like Sana Barech Eid Shukr until the other people walk in and say Imanu Yisem, and they're identified as Edom Zomimim, and by definition Edom Zomimim are also liars. So even though the actual lie was said when it was said, the lava like Sana Barech Eid Shukr is only considered having been transgressed when you were identified as Edom Zomimim. A very bechidish, but otherwise it's a gvaldig kasha. Continues the Gemara. Here we speak about another situation where somebody was chayiv. They say edus about a person that he did an aver for his chayiv malchus, and then they turn out to be zomimim. So al kash zomim last sloch of the chayiv malchus. So according to Rameh, like in Shmainim, you get two sets of malchus. One because loisana barech eid shakar, and one because asisim like kash zomim. Dere Rameh. They only get 40 because you can live the Ramanei, we don't give two unshim for one Aveira. It's interesting to note, there's a beautiful verse from the Panim Yofis. The Panim Yofis says that our Mishnah, and the Gemara we're going to discuss it also, teaches us the Halacha Kim Leib the Ramanei. The Torah in Parashas Mishpatim teaches us the following Halacha. If you have someone who's an Eved Ivri, so an Eved Ivri is sold for a term of 6 years. Teaches us the Torah that let's say somebody, an Eved Ivri, after 6 years, says, Ahavti es Adoni es Ishti, le'etzi chavshi, I want to stay where I am. So the Pasuk says, V'lokav Adonav es Oznei v'ratzav matzeya. He's taken to the door, and a hole is made in his ear. And the Gemara, and Rashi quotes the Gemara, says, what's the hole in the ear for? Ozen zu. This ear that heard Shoshama v'Sinai loisignoif, v'holach v'gonaf, he heard at Har Sinai, as we all heard at Har Sinai, that one may not steal. Because how does a Jew become an Eved? Because he stole and he doesn't have the ability to repay, as we discussed earlier already in this Masechta. So that's why he deserves to have a hole in his ear. As to Panim Yofis, so why does he get the hole now? He should have gotten the hole 6 years ago when he stole. That's when he did the Aveira Leisignif. 6 years later, we remember, answers the Panim Yofis because of Kimlev the Rabbanei. What happened when he stole? He was sold into an Eved, to be an Eved. That's already enough of a punishment. And now Gemara teaches us that we don't give a person two punishments. That's why we have no choice but to wait 6 years when we get a new opportunity to give him the hole in the ear because we couldn't give it to him then. Says the Gemara. Bishlam Rabbanan, says the Gemara, the opinion of the Rabbanan and Mishnah is very understood. Kedei Rishosik Siv, Mishum Risha Achas Atamechayvai, Viat Mechayvai Mishum Shtei Rishoyas. And that's why we can't give him two punishments. El Rameyer, according to Rameyer, my Tama, what will be the halacha? Why does Rameyer subscribe to the concept of Kedei Rishosai? Answer the Gemara, Amu Ula Gomem Maitzi Shemra. The halacha is that a Maitzi Shemra, if somebody marries a girl who's a Nara, and the husband comes and says, "Lemitzasi lebitcha psulim." He comes and he says that this girl who was supposed to be psula is not, and he accuses her of having had an adulterous relationship while she was an arusa, and then it turns out that it was a mitzi shemra, it was just a fabrication. The Torah says, "For anshu oisai meya kesef," he has to pay the father a fine of meya kesef, and he gets malchus. So from here we see that the person who is a Maitzi Shemra gets two punishments. So too is the halacha, Beit Zomimim, says Rameya, that he'll get both Malchus for Lysana and Momin for Kasha Zomim. Ask the Gvura Sari, how can we use Maitzi Shemra as a raya to halacha of Edom Zomimim? What is the halacha of a Maitzi Shemra? He has to pay Meir Kesef. Who gets the Meir Kesef? The girl's father. The Malchus he gets, because he was Maitzi Shemra, on an innocent Jewish girl. So the Chiyuv of the Malchus is towards the girl, and the Chiyuv of the Mammon is towards the father. So that's why Rameyah says, or the Torah says, we could give both punishments. Whereas by the Edom Zomimim, both of them are reflecting they themselves, that they were Edom Zomimim, and that's why they're getting two punishments. So how can we compare the case of Adam Zomim to Maitzi Shemra? Gvura Sari's question. Answers the Gvura Sari, Shag Zaryeh, which is a very nice teretz. He says that we are not to understand that when somebody is Maitzi Shemra on a Jewish girl, that the Torah says, V'nosim l'avi anar mei kesef, that it's a chiv to the father. The chiv is to the girl. That was the one that was wronged, that he said such a terrible thing about the Jewish girl. The Torah says that who should actually get the money? The father. But the chiv really comes because what he did to the girl, not what he did to the father. So it's the same as Eidim Zomim. It emanates from the same. So again, El Ramei Mai Tama, Oma Ula, Gama Maitzi Shemra. He learns from Maitzi Shemra. Ma Maitzi Shemra, Loike Mishalem, as I just explained. As called, so too is the Halacha everywhere, Loike Umishalem. Ask the Gemara, how can we use Maitzi Shemra as a source to learn halachas by Eidim Zomim? Ma'ala Maitzi Shemra, Shekein Knas. Answers the Gemara, Sovela Rebbe Kiva, Da'adma Eidim Zomim Knasu. As we learned in our previous year, Rebbe Kiva holds that every case of Eidim Zomim is really also a Knas. As we explained, the fact that you don't have to have Asra, the fact that nobody lost any money, and you still have to pay, is a proof that Eidim Zomim is a Knas. So therefore, Maitzi Shemra could serve as a source for the halacha of Eidim Zomim. There's an interesting machlokes rishonim. What would be the halacha if Eidim came in and said that somebody was Maitzi Shemra on his wife? If somebody was Maitzi Shemra on his wife. And then those Eidim turn out to be Eidim Zomim. So what's the halacha of a Maitzi Shemra? The halacha is he's like a mishalim. What's the halacha of Eidim Zomim? But the Rabbanim say the Eidim Zomim never get two punishments. What would be the halacha here? Will the Eidim Zomim get two punishments, just like the person who they said they're Eidus about? Or will they only get one punishment, because Eidim Zomim, according to Rabbanim, only get one punishment? So it's actually a machlokes rishonim. It's machlokes Rashi and Ri. Rashi says the Al Gemara, according to Rabbanim, teaches us that the Eidim Zomim always only get one punishment. So here too, even though they were trying to be mechayiv somebody two punishments, they'll only get one. The Reed disagrees. Vasisim Lakasha Zomim Lasis Lachiv teaches us that a person gets what he wanted to give. So if the person who they were going to say testimony about, as Al Gemara just said, would have gotten both Loike Mishalim, they too should be Loike Mishalim. Asks Rabbi Kiva Eger on the Reed's opinion that the Gemara says, in Masechet Ksubos, that there's never a case that a person should be mechayiv misa mamon. So how will the Ri understand that Gemara? So Reb Chaim Briska says a very interesting teretz. Reb Chaim Briska says that misa is considered such a strong punishment that includes all other punishments. So there's two types of kimle b'drabmanei, says Reb Chaim. There's a kimle b'drabmanei where one of the punishments is misa. That Kimle B'drabmanei teaches us that Misa is such a severe punishment that within Misa is subsumed all other punishments. And there's another Kimle B'drabmanei where it's not Misa, where according to the Ri, you could end up having to pay both punishments. Says the Gemara, Ikla Masal Ula Aha. Some learn what Ula says regarding the following Braisa. The Tanya. The Braisa speaks about the Karman Pesach. The Torah says, L'Sesir Men HaBoiker, you shouldn't leave over any of the Karban Pesach till the morning. Says the Braisa, it's a situation of a lav and nitik lasei. We have a lav that you may not leave over any of the Karban Pesach, but there's a way of correcting if you did it by burning it. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, one would not receive malchus for leaving over a portion of the Karban Pesach because it's a lav and nitik lasei. That's not the reason one doesn't get malchus. What's the reason? You didn't do anything. You just left over. Rabbi Kiva teaches us, Rabbi Yehuda obviously disagrees with Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Yehuda, who had to come up with the reason of lav anitik lasei, obviously holds the lav she'en b'maisa loiken alav. Ask the Ramanali. From where do we know that even if it's a lav she'en b'maisa, you get malchus? Amu'ula, gomim maitzi shemra. What's maitzi shemra? all the man did, all the husband did was talk. And as we learned already earlier in our Masechta, talking itself is not considered a lav sheyesh by Maisa. That's why we have a raya, says Rabbi Yehuda, that just because it's a lav sheyesh by Maisa, we could still get malchus. Ask the Gemara, again, Amu'ula, Gama Maitse Shemra. Ma Maitse Shemra is a lav sheyesh by Maisa, because all he did was just talk, and still, like an alav, says Rabbi Yehuda, from here we see, af kol lav sheyesh by Maisa, like an alav. Ask the Gemara, how could we use Maitse Shemra as a source, as a model for other lavim? Maitse Shemra has this very bichumra, shekein loike mishalim, which never is the case by any other lav, that you get two punishments. Alam Rish Lakish, gamam edim zomimim. We learn from edim zomimim. Ma edim zomimim. As we learned earlier, edim zomimim is a lav she'en by maisa, and like an alav, could just talk, af kol, and still, if the edim zomimim spoke about a ben gerusha or ben chalutza, the first Mishnah of HaMasechta teaches us that they get malchus, af kol lav, she'en by maisa, like an alav. Ask the Gemara, you can't learn from edim zomimim. Mal edim zomimim, she'en kein tzrichin hasra. So it has this very big chumra that it doesn't have asra. Why can't we? So that's why edim zomimim are unique. How can we learn from edim zomimim to any other laugh? Maitse shemra yachiyach. Maitse shemra does require hasra, and still it's a laugh shem b'maisa. You get malchus. V'chazar adein. You know what's the Gemara saying? Each one of these situations has something unique about it. Maitse shemra has the unique attribute that you get two punishments. Edim zomimim has the unique aspect that it doesn't require hasra. Loi rezev rezev, loi rezek rezek. But what is the tzara shavish b'em? What is the common denominator? That both of them are lav she'en by maisa. But like in a love, that we have a lav she'en by maisa and you get malchus. From here, says Rabbi Yehuda, we can learn to all areas of halacha, af kol lav she'en by maisa, that even though it's a lav she'en by maisa, like in a love. Ask the Gemara, but malat sara shavishahen, that we learned on top of the Amid, shekein knas. Both Maitse Shemra and Edim Zomimim are a fine. So how can we learn from them to all other areas of halacha that are not a knas? Says Marhala Kasha. That isn't really a difficulty, because Rabbi Yehuda loy sovel like Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Yehuda doesn't agree with Rabbi Kiva that Edim Zomimim is considered a knas. But ask the Gemara a different question. Malat sara shavishahen, shekein yesh ben tzad chomer. Both of these have a tzad chomer. What is the tzad chomer? That edim zomimim don't require hasra, and that Maitse Shemra gets two punishments. So ask the Rishonim, every tzad hashava has this issue, that why do we have to create a tzad hashava? Because each one of them has a unique attribute. So why is the Gemara only asking it here? Also two terutzim. One Tarot says that these are very unique attributes, that Hasra isn't required, that you get two punishments, are so unique in Halacha that we don't find any other place like that in Halacha. That's why that would perhaps break the whole Tzad HaShava. That's one Pshat in the Rishonim. Another Pshat in the Rishonim is that this speaks to the heart of the matter. Not requiring Hasra is not just a Chumrah. It's a definition of Edim Zomimim. And therefore, it shouldn't just be considered a Tzad. It should maybe break the Tzad HaShava. Yehuda Tzad Chomer like Paruch. Yehuda indeed holds, since the Chumrah of this and the Chumrah of this are not identical Chumras, we can't learn one from the other. Ask the Gemara, according to Rameya, we understand what Lysana Bereachet comes to teach us. You get a lav, you get Malchus. Edom Zomim get Malchus. But according to Rabbanan, what do we do with Lysana Bereachet? Rabbanan, hi Lysana Bereachet, et shok of my darshubay. And so the Gemara, ha'u mibay le'las har le'edom Zomim. We know that every time the Torah mentions a punishment, there has to be a lav. An onshim elam kei mashirim. What is the ashora in the Torah for Edom Zomimim? Lysana Bereachet et shachar. So now Rameir asked the Gemara, ashora le'edom Zomimim menolei. I'm Rabbi Yehuda nafkalei menesharim yishmu v'ro v'lo yisifu od. Says the Gemara Rabbanan, who already learned the ashora from Lysana Bereachet et shachar, what would they do with this pasuk? Ha'ubay le'lech roza. That they have to make an announcement that these people, we learned the Gemara Masechta Sanhedrin, that these people are Edom Zomimim and are being punished for such. Rameya, Hachroza, that we make such an announcement about the Edom Zomimim, we learn from the Pasuk, V'yishmu Yiro Nafku. Then the pasuk adds the words v'lo yisifu od. V'lo yisifu od comes to teach us the halacha of ashar la'edim zavim. Rabbanah disagrees, say that the entire pasuk is only coming to teach us the halacha of achrazah.